Linux on Windows, and Windows on Linux. This is WSL, or the Windows Subsystem for Linux. In 2 minutes, I'm gonna have two flavors of Linux running on your Windows machine. Ubuntu and Kali Linux for the hackers. GUI support, GPU access, shared files between Windows and Linux. You can use Linux commands on Windows and Windows commands on Linux. It's crazy. It's like Linux and Windows became one person. Is it too powerful? Yes, it is. And even if you think you know WSL, everything there is to know about it, I bet you, in this video, you're gonna learn something new. In fact, that's a challenge. If you watch this video and you don't learn anything, I give you permission to leave a mean comment about me. Like, really make it personal. Attack me as a person. I'm giving you permission. Get your coffee ready. Let's go. Okay, before we go crazy, let's talk about what you need. Who can run WSL2? And by the way, this is WSL2, there was a 1, this one is obviously better. For hardware, you'll want a 64-bit processor, and ARM is supported. You'll want a minimum of 4 gigs of RAM, and like anything in IT, any project I've covered, the more RAM you have, the better. You'll probably have the best time with 16 or higher. Now before we move on, if you don't already have it enabled, you'll need to jump into your BIOS and enable virtualization, because WSL2 uses lightweight virtual machines. So reboot your computer, jump into your BIOS, you'll either hit escape or F2 or F10 or something, it'll tell you. And if you have an Intel processor, look for something called Intel VTX and enable that. If you have AMD, look for AMD V. That will enable virtualization and you'll be all set. WSL doesn't need much, so I hope this includes most people. Let's talk about software now. Of course, you'll want to be running Windows. This is Linux on Windows. But what flavor? You will 100% have the best time if you're running Windows 11. If you're still holding the line at Windows 10, you are supported, but you gotta be at build 19.0.4.1, almost forgot it, or higher. You can very quickly check that by going to your search bar and typing in WINVER for WinVer, and it should show you right there. Hopefully you see a big Windows 11 there. And of course, there's one more thing you need, coffee. Everything in IT requires coffee. Now here comes the 2-minute WSL install. First, you'll launch your Windows terminal. We'll just go to our search bar, type in terminal, and it should be this guy right here. Now we're about to install it with one command, but just know, this user account you're using, for me, it's me, Chuck. It does need admin privileges. You'll find out real quick if you don't have them, because this command will not work. Type this in with me, WSL --install. That's literally all we have to do now to install WSL. It was much harder before. Check this out, hit enter. You'll get a UAC prompt, just say yes. And it's doing it. It first enables the virtual machine platform service. Another UAC prompt will click yes. Now it's installing the Windows subsystem for Linux. It's going pretty quick actually. And notice it is installing Ubuntu. That's the default distro. And now that it's done, we're gonna go ahead and restart because it told us to. Just close this out and reboot your PC. Okay, once your computer has rebooted, you should arrive here. It's gonna ask you to set up a username. I'll put in my network Chuck. And then set up a password. And just like that, I'm inside Linux. I'm in Ubuntu. Now we can leave WSL by typing in exit or just by simply closing the window, but it's always there. We can launch our terminal once more. And by default, it's gonna launch you right back into PowerShell. To launch Ubuntu again, just type in WSL-D and Ubuntu. We're back in. Let's type in exit to get out. And we can install more than just Ubuntu. Watch this, type in WSL --list --online. This will show you all the available distros that you can download and install. One I care about is Kali Linux, the hacking Linux distro. Now we could install that right here from the command line, similar to Ubuntu, but it gave me some problems. Let me show you a better way to do it. Did you know you can install these things right from the Windows Store? Watch this. We'll go to our search bar and type in store and launch the Microsoft Store. Here, I'm simply gonna search for Kali Linux in the search bar at the top, hit enter, and there it is. Now it says I already have it installed. It's lying, I don't know why. Well, go ahead and click on that. You should see the option to install where mine says open, liar. Go ahead and click on whatever your option is, and it should install and launch another terminal similar to how it did with Ubuntu, prompting you for a username and a password. And now I'm in Kali Linux. We can launch Ubuntu at the same time. Open up another tab, type in WSL-D and the name of your distro, Ubuntu. If you spell it right, it'll open. Now we're running Ubuntu and Kali Linux and Windows side by side. Now right now, Kali Linux has no tools installed. It's a minimal install. Let's change that. Run the command Kali -tweaks. And we get a nice menu. Let's click on Meta Packages. Just use your directional arrows and go down, hit enter, put your pseudo password in, which will be the password you set for the system. And let's install Kali Linux's top 10 tools. Scroll down, hit spacebar to select it, tab, hit enter to apply, and hit okay. And hit enter again. It's gonna ask you a few times maybe. Perfect time for a coffee break. No, actually, while it's doing that, what do you say we play in Ubuntu? I wanna show you a few cool things. Like first, how we can run a Windows command inside Linux. Watch this. ipconfig is how you find out what your IP address is in the Windows command prompt. I can run that right here.
Inside Linux. What?
I can use the Windows ping, ping.exe. I can open files with Notepad if I add exe at the end, .exe. I can even open up my current location inside Windows Explorer. Type in explorer.exe, type in dot right after that. These are my Linux files right here, inside Windows Explorer. That's nuts. Let's reverse it. Let's go to PowerShell, open up a new PowerShell window. This is all Windows. I can type in ipconfig, which will give me my IP addresses, but I can filter using a Linux command. I'll type in ipconfig, I'll pipe, add a pipe, and then type in WSL to invoke a Linux command. And I'll say grep 410 dot. How cool is that? By the way, grep is a Linux-based command to filter based on search. It does more than that, but that's just one thing. I can use the Linux cat command. WSL, cat, and then my file name. It's like Linux and Windows have become one person, and I'm here for it. Now, this might take a minute. It did for me. I just got some more coffee, no big deal. We'll just tab over and quit that. Now you should have a few more Kali Linux tools. Now there is one. Let me see if I already have it installed here. Spiderfoot. Let me install it. This tool is kind of crazy. I just had to show you. It's an OSINT tool, or open source intelligence tool for hackers. I'm gonna launch it, spiderfoot-l, specify my IP address, which will be local here, 127.0.0.1, port 5001. Oh wait, spiderfoot. And now I got a web server running on my WSL. So cool. I'm gonna launch my web browser real quick and go to localhost 5001. And there's spiderfoot. This thing can find a ton of information about people. I'm gonna do a scan. I'll name it my scan. And then you scan your target. You can scan anything. I'm gonna scan a name, Chuck Keith, which is my name. Let's run the scan and see what it finds. And watch the cool command line stuff happening in the background. Ooh, we found stuff. Human name. And hacked email address. What is that? No way. Okay, this right here, it's not me. But what it is was my dad's old email address at a previous company. Yes, we're both named Chuck Keith. It's a thing. That's kind of scary, right? Hackers use these tools all the time. Actually, do you want to see something scarier? And honestly, this makes me kind of mad. I'm going to launch my NetworkChuck cloud browser and go to a website called Truthfinder. You don't have to be a hacker to use this. Anyone can do it. I signed up for an account and paid 30 bucks. And I searched for information on me. And not only did it find me, it revealed so much about me. Like my home address, my family members, my age, birthday, criminal record. Don't tell anybody. My assets, social profiles, and not just where I currently live, every place I've lived. This makes me mad because this is public information. Anyone can create an account here and find this information about me. That's not okay. I actually had someone go on Twitter and post my home address publicly for everyone to see. My kids are legit afraid to walk outside by themselves. So what do I do about this? How do I get my information off these sites? Incogni, they are the sponsor of this video and they are a tool that can help you get your information off this stuff, off all these lists. And yeah, these are all just a list, a database of information about all of us. I mean, go ahead, look yourself up. You're probably there. This information is bought, sold, and traded amongst data brokers. So like marketing companies, research companies, HR companies will buy this information so they can screen potential employees, profile them. And of course, these sites like Truthfinder, who will buy up all this information and offer it as a service. So I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna set up Incogni right now. Okay, so I just signed up, I gave it some information about me, and I authorized it to contact companies based on my behalf. Now, what does that mean? Well, look right here. I signed up and immediately it sent 83 requests to have my information removed from some list or data broker. So for example, look at the activity log. Telephone list. It's in a request to remove my information. This is the reason I never answer my phone. A phone call comes in, if it's not a contact I know, I don't answer because every call is spam. I wince whenever it's election season because I know I'm about to get a dozen calls a day, text, emails. It's an onslaught of just spam. And I feel helpless. Like, what do I do about that? I suppose I could go out to all these places that I didn't already know about, I have to research, and request my information to be removed. But that would take forever. Incogni estimates it takes the average person about 304 hours to redo all that research and submit the removal request. But then you have to like follow up because it's probably not gonna do it the first time, you know? And then maybe in a year you get back on a few lists. I don't have time for that. Do you have time for that? No, you probably don't. You're busy studying, right? And that's where Incogni comes in. So they're doing this initial removal process. Currently these are being sent out to all the private databases and they're scanning right now all the public databases. And we'll submit it on my behalf automatically. Not only that, it's gonna be a regular process. They will constantly reach out to the list of their data brokers and request my information be removed. They're on it. Like honestly, I'm paying for this myself and I'm gonna keep using it. So I challenge you right now to go out there and try to find information on yourself. Go to Truthfinder, go to PeopleFinder. See if you're out there. If you are, do something about it.
and Cogni will take care of it for you. I've got a link below. If you use the code NETWORKCHUCK, you'll get 60% off an annual plan. And honestly, like this right here is a no-brainer for me. I felt pretty helpless knowing that all my data was out there and not really knowing what to do about it. But anyways, thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this video and for helping me deal with my really crazy problem. Okay, I'm gonna stop running Spiderfoot. It's kind of a creepy name for a tool. I don't like it. I don't like spiders. Comment below if you hate spiders like me. Now I'm gonna pop out of my demo machine and get to my personal machine here and show you some cool stuff. Let's do some WSL command basics. Now we already saw how we could list available distros online by typing in WSL --list --online. These are distros we can download and install. Let's install OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. That just sounds fun. To install that, I'll type in WSL --install and then the distro name. It's that simple. Go. Ooh, and look at this nice little screen. I wasn't expecting this. Have a lot of fun. I will. Okay, cool. I'm in OpenSUSE. I'm gonna exit though. Now to see what I have currently installed, I can type in WSL --list --verbose to see some more stuff, like which ones are running and which ones are stopped. Speaking of stopped, how do I stop WSL or stop the machines I have running? If I type in WSL --shutdown, that will shut down everything. If I run that same list command as before with verbose, all of them stopped. So now I have Kali and Ubuntu running. How do I stop just one? With this command, WSL --terminate, and then specify the distro name. So let's say Kali Linux. And it's done. It is stopped. Now notice in my list here, I've got Ubuntu with an asterisk next to it. That means that's my default distro. If I want to make Kali my default, I can do it with this command, WSL --set --default. And then the distro name. But I don't want to do that. I like Ubuntu. To check the status of WSL, we can type in WSL --status, which tells us stuff we already know, like our default distro, and we're running WSL too. Now, what if we want to remove a distro? Uninstall it, delete it. This command. So I'm going to list my stuff once more. I'll remove OpenSUSE, even though he had a really cool way to set him up. The command will be WSL --unregister, and then the name of the distro. It's kind of wordy. And with that, it should be gone. If I do the same command before, list verbose, disappeared. Now, one of the coolest things about WSL is the fact that you can use Windows files inside Linux. So for example, if I'm in Ubuntu, let me jump over to my Ubuntu tab. I can CD or change directory to my C drive by going to /mount/C. If I LS, that's my Windows hard drive. And I can jump into my directories, CD users, chuck, go to my downloads folder, and interact with anything here. Like let me grep for a text file. Oh, here's one. And I can mess with that. That I use all the time. But you can also access your Linux files. So I've got a bunch of stuff in my Linux directory. Let me get to my home directory here. I can access these in Windows. There's a couple of ways to get there. But right now from the Linux terminal, if I type in explore a Windows command .exe and just put the period, it's gonna open up where I am inside Windows. It just opened up on my other screen, but here it is. How cool is that? Now notice my location here. This location is actually saved by default in Windows 11 to your home bar on the side. You've got a little location here called Linux, your little penguin just hanging out. And if I expand that or even just click on it, I can see I have the locations and storage for all of my Linux distros. And I can jump into those and I can copy and paste files, manipulate them, whatever. Again, I'm telling you, Linux and Windows became one. Now let's talk about GUI apps. WSL2 has a thing called WSLG, which allows you to launch apps from your Linux command line and they open up as a GUI in your Windows environment. It doesn't make any sense, but it's awesome. Watch this. So check this out. Here in Ubuntu, if I were to install Wireshark, a tool used for capturing packets, with sudo apt install Wireshark, I've already got it installed. Now if I want to launch it, I'll just do sudo Wireshark. This is so cool. It launched a little GUI version of Wireshark. Oh, it's trying to get loaded up. That's why it's doing this weird thing. Don't judge it by that. And this is an app just running in Ubuntu. I can launch Google Chrome. Google Chrome running inside Ubuntu on Windows. Let me have Wireshark up to capturing these packets here. But how cool is that? That's just wild. So you can install any app that has a GUI and launch it from Ubuntu or Kali Linux. And that just works out the gate. But Kali does something different, kind of a little insane. Check this out. Kali has a tool called WinKex. And we're gonna install that right now. With sudo apt install kali-win-kex. We'll do a -y and run the install after we put our sudo password in. With it installed, I'm gonna run one command, kex, just like this. It's gonna ask me to set a password. I'll put no for view only and watch what happens. At first it's like, what's going on? It's not doing anything, but then boom! How cool is that? Full blown Kali, works like a charm, super quick. I love this. You hit F8. To get your options here, you can get out of full screen. Just make it a little window you can move around. To officially close it, just go to your logout options and just just log out. And if you want to stop it, just type in kex --win --stop. Now, getting back to Ubuntu over here, I want to talk about Nano. If you've been watching me for a while, you know that Nano is my favorite text editor in Linux. Open up me a file, super easy, but that's been replaced because Linux and Windows, they're like this now. And no, I'm not talking about Notepad. Watch this. If you got VS Code installed, now if you don't know what VS Code is, I got a video on it. VS Code's amazing. Right here in my Linux terminal, I'll simply type in code and the name of my file. And it opens that bad boy in VS Code. And this isn't like a GUI app for Linux. This is my VS Code installed in Windows. Doesn't stop there though. VS Code. If I go to my extensions, I can search for WSL. They have a WSL extension. I'll close VS Code and just open it again with the code text.txt. Now notice when I'm opening VS Code, the bottom left, it connects me to WSL Ubuntu by default. I can open up terminals right here. I'm in Ubuntu right now. I can access all the files easily, keeping all the autocomplete goodness and all the code things I like to have. And then WSL gets even crazier with Docker. Yes, you can run Docker containers inside WSL, opening up an entire world for you. So check this out. You can install it in a number of ways. One way is to install Docker from your terminal, sudo apt install docker.io. That's one way. Or if you're wanting something special, you can install Docker Desktop. And what this will do is use WSL2 as its source for creating and managing Docker containers. And Docker Desktop is really neat. It allows you to manage those containers and look at them and look at the networks and everything you create. It's very fun. But I'll start the install here. And notice in the config, it does say use WSL2 instead of Hyper-V. Okay. Now, speaking of, many people don't like WSL. Or like to use it because it interferes with using virtualization software like VirtualBox, which is amazing. It allows you to create virtual machines. That is not the case anymore because VirtualBox has made an update to where it'll default use Hyper-V, which will be enabled. So you can use WSL2 with VirtualBox side by side. Okay, it wants me to restart Windows. Okay, fine. I hate it when it does that. All right, it rebooted. I'm gonna accept a bunch of stuff blindly. I don't wanna sign in. I'm gonna continue without signing in. I'm gonna skip the survey. I'm not doing anything. And that's it, Docker install. And jump back into Ubuntu. Notice that it did auto start because Docker Desktop started it. I'm gonna run a quick Docker container. I could do this from Docker Desktop. I just prefer and we're comfortable with the command line. If I go to Docker Desktop, bam, there's my guy right there. I can see images, volumes. That's super slick. It's not just that though, because back to VS Code. You can look at your Docker containers in WSL via VS Code as well. There's a Docker extension, which I'll install right now. I think I actually prefer it in VS Code because it's weird that you can do that. But if I click on the little Docker guy here with my extension installed, I can see my guy right here. It's files and everything. That's so nifty. I love it so much. Attached to the shell, I'm inside my BusyBox guy. Isn't that just cool? I mean, I love how everything's just right here. It's so easy and powerful. And speaking of powerful, my Linux stuff has access to my GPU, just as Windows does. If I type in NVIDIA-SMI, Linux can see my 3080 on my demo machine here. Try doing that with a virtual machine. That's a pain in the butt, if even possible. Can VirtualBox or VMware do that right now? I'm not sure. Now, the last thing I want to show you as we go deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole of WSL is the custom config you can do. WSL has two config files that you can mess with. First is our local one. Each individual machine or distro you deploy has its own little config file. It's called WSL.conf. We can find it here. Let me show you real quick. Here in Ubuntu, I'm going to go to, I'll just open it up, /etc/WSL.conf. There it is. Now, one thing I want to point out that's just fun is that WSL does fully support systemd, but it is a configurable option. Notice it is by default set to true. It's using systemd. And you can add other config here. I'm not going to demo everything or really anything on that because I don't care about it. But you can do things like auto mount settings, auto mounting drives. And yes, you can mount remote drives. I mount my NAS inside my WSL instance all the time. You can do some hostname config with network settings, interoperability settings, user settings. You can add a default user. You can have stuff run when the instance boots. And here's an example file right here. Now, the other file you can have is a global file. And I like this one better because it has cooler options. This will apply to every single WSL instance you're running. And this is going to be stored in your Windows operating system. By default, it's not created. It's going to be a .wsl config file. And WSL is going to look for it inside your user directory. Let's create it real quick. I got this one little quick snappy command that we're gonna run inside PowerShell. So here, PowerShell window, all Windows, baby. Run this command notepad, and it's gonna open up a new file within our user profile, .wsl config, and notepad. It's gonna go, hey, that file's not created. We're gonna create it right now. Cool, no big deal. Now, one thing I want to demo and show you how to do is changing the networking mode. So check this out. We're going to set up the config file right now. First, we'll do opening bracket and say WSL2, closing bracket. It's just telling it, hey, we're doing WSL2 file. It's going to look for that and actually need it there. And then we're going to change networking mode, and the M will need to be capitalized. And I'll say equals mirrored. Now, by default, the networking mode for WSL is NAT. I'm not going to cover NAT in too much detail. Just know that this is my Windows IP address, I think. I actually don't know. My WSL instances are connected to this with a separate network through NAT, and they'll look something like this, 172.16.3.4. I'm just assuming. Let me go see what it actually is. Do an IP address command. Yeah, it's 172.27.253.90. This is not on my local network. It's a NAT connection, its own separate network. And by the way, there's an 8-second rule they have. I'm legit, this is what they call it. Like, I'm not making this up. If you go to their documentation, they call it the 8-second rule for configuration changes. You want to wait 8 seconds after you shut the WSL instances down for the changes to take effect. Cool. I think we are in that limit. So I'm in Kali Linux. If I type in ifconfig once more, it didn't change. What did I do wrong? Let me do it longer. You know what it did? It added a TXT to this bad boy. Why did it do that? Let's just remove that TXT. And now WSL will use it. That was a pain. Let's shut them all down. Count to 8. And let's launch Kali once more. Fingers crossed, ifconfig, it matches Windows right there. Mirrored mode versus NAT mode removes a lot of the issues you might have, and you can connect to WSL directly from your local area network, which is pretty cool. Now, one last thing I'm gonna show you, one last deep dive, and that's how to back up your WSL instances, your little virtual machines that you might pour a lot of love into to configure and add tools. You wanna make sure you can protect those. So let's try it out. With this command, I can back up a WSL machine. So with this command, I'll list my stuff. WSL --list --verbose to see what they're doing. I've got Ubuntu. I'm gonna back him up to what's called a tar file. So I'll do WSL --export, and I'll specify Ubuntu, and then the name of the file I want to store it in. So I'll just call it ubuntu.tar. And right now it's exporting my Ubuntu machine. And that's it. If I were to ls that, and then grep, I'll use WSL to grep for it. There it is right there. Now what I want to try and do is import this on another machine. So I'm going to open this up. Let's see, where'd he go? There it is, ubuntu.tar. It's only 1.9 gigs. I'm going to copy that onto my main machine. All right, with it copied over, and by the way, this is the first time I've tried this. Hope it works. I'm gonna do WSL --import. I'm gonna name it, and I can name this anything. I'll name it Tokyo. Specify where I wanna store it. I'll put it here, DWSL, and then the name of the tar file, or the location of it. It's right here. Ready, set, go. Okay, it's importing. That's it. So now if I list my stuff, try it out, WSL --list, there's Tokyo. Let me connect to Tokyo. Sick, okay, cool. That worked. Oh, I forgot one thing. I had to turn my cameras back on just to tell you this. When connecting to an imported instance, notice it kind of defaulted to the root user. And that kind of freaked me out because I had some files here and they're not here, but they were here in my other Ubuntu. I created like two little text files. Well, you can specify the user account you connect as. So I'll do WSL -D in Tokyo. Then I'll do -U for user and specify network chuck to connect as network chuck. And there we go. Type in ls. There's my files. Sorry, I almost forgot that. Also, if you like the way my stuff looks, let me know if you want me to make a video on how to do that. I kind of love it, especially when I can do this and have it look like Ubuntu and be nice and clean. Okay, that's everything WSL. From the flashy cool stuff to the nerdy things that you may want to do to back things up or make your networking work. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll catch you guys next time.